4:17. Read one verse and continue on, and give you the outline that we are studying. We're studying Satan as a deceiver, Satan as a destroyer, Satan as a ruler, and then Satan as an accuser. And those are the ways that he wants to try and defeat you and I. Our job is to detect him and then get the counter strategy to Satan's strategy to become the victors that we truly are. We already are victors. We already know that. Now we just want to claim that victory. And so we're going to look at him as a deceiver tonight. And we're going to look at how he targets our mind. Most of what we already covered was introductory. But tonight is going to get right into Satan and his target, which is our mind. Read verse 17 with me, one verse. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. By the way, if you walk that way, Satan already has you. Simple as that. If you are having a vain, empty mind that's full of worldliness, Satan's got you already. Paul is saying, on the contrary, don't walk that way. Don't walk like other Gentiles. Walk like we know we ought to walk. Amen. Father, bless now the next moments that we have, and I pray that we might glean a blessing from your word, Lord. Open our eyes once again. Open our heart's door once again to your word, that the entrance to your word would give us light, and we would be able to identify, detect Satan, defend against him. The defeat is already there, Lord. See his strategies, employ the counter strategy, which is the word of God. And then, Lord, go forward as conquerors and victors like we are already. We thank you. We love you and praise you, Lord. Bless now the moments that we have together. And Lord, as always, once the word of God is exposed to our minds and our hearts, help us to be conformed to the image of Christ's likeness. Help us to leave differently than when we walked in, a little bit more knowledgeable of Jesus Christ, a little bit more knowledgeable of his ways, a little bit more knowledgeable of his word, and Lord, more knowledgeable of his work, and then be conformed to the image of Christ, your dear son. That is the ultimate goal that we know, and we want to walk in obedience to your word that that may happen. We thank you. We love you. Bless down the moments we have in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. All right, you may be seated. So Satan as a deceiver. We know already that we are victors in Christ. We saw we're victors positionally where we sit right now in Christ. Practically, the victory is already ours. We have the weaponry to defeat him. And then powerfully, we have the Spirit of God. And so we're victors already. We know that. We also saw that Satan is a deliberate deceiver. We saw he's a deliberate deceiver in his description about him and his deception and what he uses and the direction that he would have you and I to go, his duplication, how he's got many, many servants out there, and then the details on how he tries to trip us up like he tripped up Eve. Now we're going to see him as the deliberate deceiver, and we're going to see how he targets our mind. Satan targets our mind. Let me give you something to think about here just for a moment. What is different between watching television and listening to it and listening in church to the preaching and teaching of the Word of God? What's the difference? Terrell? Television for entertainment? Okay, amen. You, was you going to say something? Nothing godly on TV, amen. Ms. Dawson? Mm-hmm. Amen. More pleasant, light, Ms. Hall, what were you going to say? Okay. Amen. 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 And by the way, I don't pause, so I'm sorry. I don't have a mute button. I don't pause. Amen. None of those things. Amen. So watching TV listening as opposed to sitting in church listening This is really the nail on the head, and you guys hit it in a roundabout way. One is spiritual discipline, and one is not. You don't have to have spiritual discipline to sit down and watch a football game. Nothing spiritual about that at all. You don't have to have spiritual discipline to sit down and watch, MacGyver or whatever you watch on TV. Amen. There's no spiritual discipline in watching Battlestar Galactica or Star Trek or whatever. But listening to preaching takes spiritual discipline. It takes spiritual discipline. Joshua can watch Ninjago, and it doesn't take spiritual discipline. No, it doesn't. Amen. It doesn't. Yes, it does. Amen. So listening to TV, there's no spiritual discipline required. Sitting in church, listening to preaching requires spiritual discipline. Why? It's a spiritual battle. And by the way, because there's a spiritual battle, the devil knows it's a spiritual battle. And so the first point that we're talking about here in Satan's strategy, detecting and defeating him, it's no question why he targets our mind. Because it's spiritual discipline that's necessary. You have to really guide yourself and gird yourself up to say, I'm going to sit here and I'm going to put everything out of my mind that I'm thinking about. I got to go to work tomorrow. I'm putting that out. I'm putting out what's for dinner, what's for lunch or whatever I ate. I'm putting away my chores I got to do. And I'm going to sit here and I'm going to listen to what God has to say. I'm going to listen to the word of God. That takes spiritual discipline, and not everybody has it. And Satan knows that. And so what Satan's going to do is attack your mind to give you everything else to think about. He'll say you're getting sleepy as teenagers because pastor's not being funny right now. He'll say he's not giving you any candy, so there's no reason to stay awake. For adults, he'll say you ate a big lunch now. You really want to go to sleep. Amen. For some of you saying you got to work 16 hours tomorrow, you definitely need to go to sleep. And so he'll start whispering to you to get your mind to get totally away from what's here. Why? He knows your mind is the gateway to you. He knows it. Think about it. Over and over and over, the Bible talks about renewing your mind, renewing your mind, renewing your mind, renewing your mind. Why do you think that is so? Because we need to renew. What's wrong with our old mind? What's wrong with our old mind? It's corrupt. And what does the old mind want to do? What it wants to do. Everything except what God wants it to do. So does it surprise you that Satan's target is our mind? It shouldn't. It really shouldn't. Let me give you some thoughts here to consider. Satan targets our mind. Watching TV is easy. Sitting in church listening is hard. Why? One is spiritual discipline, one is not. So why would Satan want to attack our mind? Consider this thought. The mind is that part where God communicates and reveals his will to you and I. You say that again. Your mind and my mind is that part, that medium that God uses to communicate his will to you and I. And if your mind is occupied with something else, guess what it misses? It misses communication from God. Satan knows that, and so he on purpose wants to occupy your mind with something else so that you don't listen to what God has to say. And that's why it's a spiritual discipline. My wife and I made up our minds a long time ago that we always going to sit in the front row. Y'all know that. What's the reason why? I don't want to be distracted because I'm easily distracted. You scratch your head and I'm looking. Amen. You pick at your ear. I'm looking. You get air rage, start going to sleep. I'm looking. And I'm thinking, do I look like that when I go to sleep? Hey, man, that looks pretty bad. Looks like they're having some kind of problem with their head. And so I'm easily distracted, so I've got to sit in the front. Satan targets our mind because the mind is the part where God communicates, reveals his will to us. Think about it. If you're ready to go bowling and you're at the bowl, getting ready to bowl, what do you hate the most when you're about ready to step out and bowl? A distraction. I mean, you're getting ready to bowl. Somebody says, Pastor! Joshua does that to me all the time. Or if you're about to play golf and you're getting ready to get that one shot, Pastor, what just happened? Something came into my mind and it altered me. That is true with just about every sport. Baseball, basketball. You see players on the side. What do they call the thing? Fatheads. Y'all know what a fathead is? People get at the free throw line. What do you see in the background? A bunch of fatheads back there waving. Or a bunch of those little things like this. Or for Kevin Durant, they put the cupcake up there. And the goal is, you're looking at the basket trying to make the free throw, but they're trying to distract you, because if they can get in your mind, you're not going to focus on the shot and you're going to miss the shot. Anybody watch football? Hey, the field goal kicker's there getting ready to kick. What's all in the background? All sorts of signs and whatnots back there. Even John 3:16's back there sometime. That's a good distraction. Amen. And what's the thing? Basketball players with a free throw. Fatheads are there. Field goal cookers. Bowling. Golfers. On and on. How many of y'all play pool? You get out there playing pool and somebody says, hey! What happens? What's going on? It's a battle for your mind. And the devil knows that. And so his goal is to attack and target your mind. God renews our lives by renewing our minds. But if our minds are distracted, our lives won't be renewed by the word of God. Get that? So folks, when we come into the house of God, if you don't on purpose say, I'm going to listen and pay attention, you're not going to do it. Most of us come in here, we're fighting fatigue already. Am I right? We work hard 5 days a week, sometimes 6 days a week, sometimes 7 days, sometimes night shifts, amen. Sometimes getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning to do inventory because it's Black Friday, amen, Ms. White, amen. And so we work hard and we still have a life to live, but then we come into the house of God and we want to get fed the word of God so we can go right back out there. And Satan says, if that's the time that you're going to get refueled, I'm going to put a stop to that. That's going to be one time that you're not going to get what you think you're going to get. And I'm going to distract you any way I can. So his target primarily is our mind. And if he can corrupt our minds away from the word of God, we will stray from the will of God and by default do the will of the devil. Somebody say amen. By default, he does not play fair. He's a deceiver. And so if I can get you by default, I don't care how I get you. By the way, if you're going against me in basketball, I don't care how you missed a shot. I mean, it can rim around 3, 4, 5 times, as long as it comes out. It can be as far off as a blind person. I don't care. As long as you miss. And I don't care how I make you miss. Well, within the, you know, the confines of the rules, amen? The devil has no rules. The only rules he's bound by is what God has told him. You can't do this or you can't do that. But other than that, it's wide open on you guys. And by the way, church is his favorite location. Church is his favorite location. Why? That's where people that are serious about God come to get some fuel to go back out there and fight against him. And he knows that. And so he's going to do everything in his power to corrupt your minds away from the word of God so that we'll stray. Amen. Consider this. Our minds can reach into the past through memory, or it can reach into the future by imagination. That's how powerful our mind is. We can reach back into our memory to a child and bring something out and explain to somebody today when you were 4 years old. It can reach into the future and imagine that you are creating one of the world's greatest inventions to help cure cancer or cure AIDS or cure something. It can go that far in the future. Your mind can do that. Think about it. The telephone was an invention of the mind. Electricity, mind. Many of the gadgets that we see, mind. The mind is important. Satan knows that. And Satan's target is our minds. By the way, he targets your mind most of all because he wants to take you back to the old days. Or as we like to call them, Brother Hall, the BC days. What are the BC days before Christ? He wants you to hang out back there. Why does he want you to hang out back there? Huh? We didn't know anything about Christ back then. And what else did you do in the BC days? Anything you sinned without conscience, you sinned at will, you sinned. And he wants you to think how much fun you had back then. But he doesn't show you the pain that went along with it. He doesn't show you the death that came along with it. He doesn't show you the hurt that came along with it. He doesn't show you all the pain and the agony that came along with it. Folks, I see it. I go back to the old days and man, it hurts me some of the stuff that I did. And I don't want to go back to the old days, but Satan wants to take you back to the old days. Just don't go into the future with Christ. Just don't get renewed today. Just don't do it. I'm going to target your mind. Young people, it was a saying back in my days when I was a childhood, and it still works today, a mind is a terrible thing to waste. It's a terrible thing to waste, especially when Christ wants to renew your mind. Satan believes, now get this, Satan believes he can still win a small victory even though the battle is already won. Go to Revelation 12:2 with me real quick. even though it's already over, he wants to win a small victory. Revelations 12, 2. And in Revelations 12, 2, let me show you something here. And notice what it says about Satan here. I'm sorry, I got the wrong scripture here. 12:12. There it is, 12:12. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. For the devil has come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth he hath what? What's the word there? He knoweth he had but a short time. He knows that the days are already numbered for him, and he knows his time is limited. And so if he can get your mind targeted, you're one less Christian that's going to fulfill the will of God. And last time I checked, one Christian can do a lot of damage. Look at the Apostle Paul. Look at the Apostle Peter. Look at Daniel. Look at Joseph. Look at Moses. Look at Abraham. One man, last time I checked, can do a lot of damage. And he knows that. And so because he doesn't know who's going to do what, he's very smart in what he does. Gregory's reading the Screwtape Letters now for one of his books. Tasha, did you have to read that in school, Screwtape Letters? Anybody else read the Screwtape Letters? It's a story. Jeez, I know you didn't read it, amen. It's a story about a senior demon instructing a junior demon how to keep a human from getting saved. And he gives him all the information on what trips a human being up. And they're trying to keep the human being from getting saved. Very intriguing story. How many of y'all know C.S. Lewis? He wrote The Chronicles of Narnia. He's the same one that wrote this book, The Screwtape. It is a very good book. I encourage every young person to get this book because it will detail how Satan gets young people left and right, and old people, I might add, as well. It's called The Screwtape Letters by C.S. Lewis. Very, very good book. And so Satan knows he's got but a short time, and so he's trying to get as many as he can get. And by the way, he believes he has this small victory by individual Christians, and his job is, I know I can't unsave you, but I will deceive you by making you unproductive. Now, nothing worse than a fruit tree that doesn't produce fruit. Somebody say amen. How many of y'all got fruit trees at home? I'm the only one. Got a grapefruit tree, we got a plum tree at home. Nothing worse than when it doesn't produce fruit, when it should. Amen. Now, it has dormant seasons, I understand that. But when it's supposed to produce fruit and it doesn't, guess what? That's very, very disturbing. Amen? And so Satan wants to keep you and I unproductive. His target is our mind. And go back to Ephesians 4:17. So Satan's target is our mind. He's a deliberate deceiver. And Satan's target is our mind. And as this deliberate deceiver targeting our mind, it is based upon our previous direction. And we left off with this last time. It's based upon our previous direction. Now, notice verse 17, because this is how we used to be. He said, this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. How do they do this? Notice verse 18. Having the understanding darkened. So in other words, they can't see spiritually. Being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them. He's saying they're alien. They're foreign to God's wisdom and God's knowledge. Because of the what? Blindness of their heart. By the way, Christians can get this way. Christians can get blind in their heart. Preacher, how do you do it? Close your eyes to God's truth. You close your eyes to God's truth, you're not going to see it. And by the way, God's not going to force you to open your eyes. You run into enough spiritual walls, I bet you will, though. Amen. You fall down those spiritual stairs, I bet you will. You get run over by enough spiritual cars, I bet you will. But God's not going to force you to open up your eyes. And the devil loves for you to keep them closed. He's got enough cars to come by and run you over too. Notice verse 19. Who being past feeling. You know what the word past feeling literally means? Become callous. How many of y'all got calluses on a finger or a toe or a foot? Amen, callous. It doesn't have any feeling to it. I got writing calluses on my finger from writing so much when I was a kid in school. And when you have something that's callous, guess what? You feel nothing. Nothing. I had some calluses on my toe. I told y'all this story one time before. And like a dummy, I couldn't feel it. You know what I took to get the callus off? What do you normally take to get a callus off your toe? well, most people use those little corn pads, whatever. Guess what I use as a kid to get my callus off my toe? A razor blade. And I cut that top layer off, and I couldn't feel it. Why? It was callus. I cut it again. It was callus. Couldn't feel it. I said, well, let me get down to the nitty-gritty. I cut a little bit more off. Couldn't feel it. And as I began to cut that callus, I thought, glory to God, is my whole toe calloused? And finally, guess what I got down to? Blood. I got down to the real skin that wasn't calloused. Sometimes God uses the word of God to cut the callousness off to get down to the real nitty gritty, because some of us can get so callous to the word of God. I heard it all my life, preacher. I was raised with the Bible. My mama and daddy taught me the Bible. My grandmama taught me the Bible. I heard it in school, preacher. I heard that's enough. Fuddy duddy. God's going to have to get some callous going on you and kind of get to rubbing you down a little bit. That word become past feeling means they have become callous. You know, one of the devil's favorite people are callous Christians. Callous Christians. They're beyond feeling. Nothing moves them. A revival can come up. Charles Haddon Spurgeon can come in here. Wouldn't move them. Billy Sunday can come in here. Wouldn't move them. I mean, you get Kenny Baldwin in here. Wouldn't move them. Amen. What are they? Callous. Callous. Hey, he said, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness, work all uncleanness with greediness, but ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have what? Heard him and have been what? Taught by him, as the truth is in who? Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the what? The old man, why? He, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be what? Renewed in what? The spirit of your mind, and that ye put on who? The new man. So what is the goal here? Satan targets your mind because he knows that if your mind can go back to the old days before Christ, then he's got you. But if your mind is renewed, you're going to do the will of God and you can do that which is right. So his target is our mind. Satan is a deceiver and he does not want you to know that your mind is being targeted right now. He doesn't. He doesn't. Josiah, I think Green Bay lost, so you don't have to worry about it anymore. Josiah say, he's targeting my mind. Green Bay, did they win? Did they win? Did they win? No, I think they lost. Amen. Join the party. The Bears lost too. Amen. We'll cry together, me, you, and Mariah. Amen. All three of our teams lost. Amen. He says, put on the new man. What was going on here? The target. And the target of our mind is based on our previous direction. He knows that's what we used to do. What do we do by nature when a problem comes up? We go to what we know best by default. And what is it for most of us? The old man. We have to pull out the new man and say, no, what does God want me to do about that situation? Because I know what I would have done back in the days. I would have given them a piece of my mind. I would have told them off. I would have punched them in the nose, but that's not God's way. What does God want me to do now? Amen. I've got to, by spiritual discipline, say my mind's a target. I know that. And so I need to find out what God wants me to do. Go over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 6 and verse 11. What am I saying there? Satan targets our mind. It's based on our previous direction, the way he knows that we're used to going. And by the way, if you're used to going that way, it's easier for you to go that way. How many of y'all go different ways when you go home? You know why? You're used to going that way. It's just easier to go that way because that's the way you know. Now, somebody told you to go a different way, you'd be like, well, I'm not used to going that way. Notice down there in verse 11, he says, and such were who? Some of you. But wait a minute. Who did we used to be like? Notice 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Who are the unrighteous? Paul, since you put a question mark there. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, which were some of us, nor idolaters, which were some of us, nor adulterers, which were some of us, nor effeminate, which I hope was none of y'all, amen. Nor was effeminate, gay, amen. Nor abusers of themselves with mankind. What is that? The like, amen. Nor thieves, I'm sure that's some of us. Nor covetous, I'm sure that was some of us. Nor drunkards, that was definitely me. Nor revilers, that was me. Nor extortioners, I'm sure that some of us, shall inherit the kingdom of God. He said, people that practice that lifestyle aren't saved. Amen. And notice how he follows up. And such were some of you. What was that? Their previous direction. He said, that's the way you used to be. Don't you know that Satan would love to tempt you on those previous directional ways? And that's where he's going to normally catch you, what you used to do. And if you haven't gotten your mind renewed to get away from it, guess what he will get you to do what you used to do. He's good at it. He will make it look appealing. He will make it look tantalizing. He will make it look like you want to do it again. But he doesn't show you the end of the road. He said, but such were some of you, but ye are what? Washed, but ye are what? Sanctified, but ye are what? Justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and the Spirit of our God. What am I saying? Target, Satan's target is our mind and is based upon our previous direction. He knows what you're bent on doing naturally in the flesh, and he's going to give it to you. And you will take it unless your mind is renewed. If you got nothing else to choose from, guess what? If I give you a choice between an apple, guess what you got to choose? You got no other choice. If Satan gives you the choice of your old man and your old man, guess what you're going to choose? Your old man. Fortunately for us, God says, now you can choose that old man, but I've got a new man for you. I've got the image of Christ's likeness that's been created in you. You've got the Spirit of God. I'm giving you another choice, and with this choice, you will trump the devil every time. But Satan says, but you know, you're used to this. You're used to this song. Preacher, what happens when you hear Marvin Gaye? Let's get it on. Preacher, no. Preacher, no. Marvin Gaye, let's get it on. Ah! Go back to what the same way. He want to get you back to the old days. Say, you know what happened when Marvin Gaye went on, don't you? Amen. Get a new song. That's why I got singing. I go a long last road. Jesus has lifted my load. Since Jesus came into my heart, I don't want to go back to Marvin Gaye. Let's get it on. That was some bad days. Bad days. Hey, Satan has some planned determination along with our previous direction. Go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. Show you this real quick. 2 Corinthians 11, 3. And we got to hurry here. 2 Corinthians 11, 3. I want to be done here at 6 o'clock. I got 10 minutes. All right. 2 Corinthians 11, 6. 11, 3, I'm sorry. Mrs. Dawson's remember Marvin Gaye too. 2 Corinthians 11, 3. And so with the previous direction that Satan knows that he wants to target in our minds, he has some planned determination. He believes that if worked on enough, you and I will fall just like Adam and Eve. Notice 2 Corinthians 11, verse 3. For I am jealous over you. That's not 2 Corinthians 11, 3. Okay. But I fear, Paul says. He's talking to the Corinthian church here because they were basically jumping on Paul saying, who are you? Paul's like, wait a minute. I led you to Christ. I'm the apostle. What do you mean, who am I? They were like, who are you to sort authority over us? Who do you think you are? Paul said, whoa. That's like you talking to your children. You just say, who do you think you are? My parent? Yeah. You think? I got the power to spank you. He says, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds, he's talking to the Corinthians about this, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. He said, look, now wait a minute. I gave you the simplistic gospel and somebody has bamboozled you. That's what he says in verse four. For if he that cometh preaches another Jesus, let you know somebody else came, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. For I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostles. He said, wait a minute, I'm no small stuff here. But if you're going to listen to them, you might as well go ahead and listen to them. Now, I'll give you several words definitions here in that verse here in verse number 4. The word beguiled is an interesting word because it means to seduce someone wholly. And I'm not talking about H-O-L-Y, holy. I'm talking about W-H-O-L-L-Y, holy. What does that word mean? W-H-O-L-L-Y, holy. Completely. Completely. Brother Neil talked about Caleb and Joshua, how they followed the Lord wholly. Everything they put in it. He says here, I fear lest that by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve or seduced her holy. And that's why we say he did such a convincing job. She did wrong thinking she was doing right. You know that's bad. When you are doing wrong thinking you're doing right, doing wrong. You know that's whole total bamboozlement there. If that's a word, amen. Which I'm sure it's probably not. Amen. Bamboozlement. Bamboozled is, amen. I mean, to to do something wrong thinking it's right. That's deceived, seduced, holy is what beguiled means there. Subtlety there means trickery. Lest by any means, as a servant beguiled Eve through his subtlety or his trickery or craftiness, he goes on there to say, so your mind should be, what's that? Corrupted, spoiled, ruined, defiled, or destroyed is the definition. He goes on from the simplicity that is in Christ, or the singleness, or the sincerity in Christ, or his freedom from pretense or ulterior motives. There is no ulterior pretense in Christ. He tells you this is the way it is, and that's the way it is. The devil always has an agenda to get his way. His whole agenda is to get you to worship him by default. But he's not going to come up there and say, I'm the devil. Would you please worship me, Layla? I got these horns. I got this pitchfork here. I got the tail here. Worship me. I'm the devil. Would you do that, Layla? What's she going to say? No. And to any of us, if he just shows up and says, Brother Hall, I'm the devil. Would you please worship me? No. But if he comes in a different way, comes as some candy, maybe. I'm some candy, Joshua. You want me, don't you?
Yeah.
I'm your favorite car, G2. Don't you want me? I'm Green Bay Packers jerseys. Don't you want me? Josiah says yes. He's not gonna come in a way that you were repulsed by him. He's going to come with something that you want. And that's why Eve was totally seduced. Holy, she was bamboozled. And Paul says here, I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve, he said through his subtlety, his trickery, so your minds, notice that, your minds, what's the target? Our minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that's in Christ. Your minds are the target. And he lets the Corinthian church know this, you have been targeted. And people that have come in and said they're apostles, and they are not. Folks, it happens to us all the time. You got so many scams out there right now on the phone, on the internet, trying to get you to get something. Somebody just sent me one from the church the other day. Oh, I receive a gift from you, but you didn't give me all the details. Could you please open this and send it to me? Right, delete. Oh, by the way, you have $1,000, and so you need to get delete. And this is one. I'm from the Ivory Coast, and I have an uncle who died and left me $1.2 million. And all you have to do is do this. Delete. Folks, it's a scam. And do you know people fall for them every day? Every day. Every day. What am I saying here? Satan says, based upon your previous direction, I'm going to target your mind. I've got a plan, determination, because I know it works. It worked on Eve. I know it'll work on you. Amen. But notice our powerful defense as we get ready to close. Our powerful defense. Got several verses here that I want you to notice here. So we've got target is the mind. Amen. It's based on our previous direction. Say he's got a plan, determination. It worked on Eve and Adam. It should work on us. But we've got a powerful defense. By the way, every reference that I give you is all going to refer to our mind. I'm going to read them. We're not going to look them up, but I'm going to read them and you can write them down. Amen. Why is every verse that I'm about to read to you about our mind? Because the devil has already targeted our mind. But guess who else has got a target on our mind? Christ. He says, because that's the vehicle in which I communicate my will to you, I want you to protect your mind. In the Old Testament, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. You need to protect your heart. You need to keep your mind. First one is Colossians 3:10. And Colossians 3:10 says, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. So the new man is renewed in knowledge. What knowledge is that? The knowledge of God. The knowledge of God. Romans 12:2 says it this way. Most of us know this verse. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your what? Mind. Why? That ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. If I don't have my mind renewed to fulfill the perfect will of God, by default, I will fulfill the devil's will. Folks, I don't like it any more than you. But if I'm not doing the will of God, by default, I'm doing the will of the devil. That's just by default. There's only two people you can worship, God or the devil. God's got angels. He's got demons. That's just the way it is. God's got Christ. He's got the Antichrist. Hey, we got prophets and preachers. He's got false prophets and false preachers. Amen. That's the way it is. Philippians 4:8. Many of us know this verse as well. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, he says, what? Think on these things. Why? As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So the Bible says, think on these things. Isaiah 26:3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose what? Mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. Isaiah 26:3. All those verses, and that's only a few, deal with your mind. Why? Satan targets your mind every single day. He targets your mind from the time you get up to the time you go to bed. And he will even target your mind in your sleep. The more things that you think on that are negative and rotten and unholy, you will go to bed and dream about those things. Amen. You wonder why you have such rotten, unholy dreams sometimes? What are you thinking on? What are you meditating on? What's in your heart? What's in your mind? Because your mind is going to go back and pull out some things that you have already stored there, that you've read, that you've seen, that you've done. It'll go forward into the imaginative state and give you some things to ponder and to dream about. And they're not always holy. I had a dream just the other night. I was trying to preach, and G2 was leading the choir. And I was just about to get into the invitation, and G2 was over there, and he got the, come on, choir. And he was getting with it. I'm like, gee, it's not time for that yet, son. Said, stop. And I went back to get going again, and G2's like, let's go. Yeah, yeah. And I'm like, whoa. Gee, it's not time for that. It was G, Josiah, somebody else was in the choir with you. And I'm thinking, what? Now, he was doing a good job, but it was untimely. It was the wrong time. What happened? I must have went to bed saying he's going to be the next choir director. Amen. I don't know. But I was dreaming about that. What happened? Your mind will go into imaginative state, or it'll go back and it'll bring things up. And the more garbage and negativity that you have that you've been thinking on, the more your dreams will plague you and haunt you. The more wickedness you've got back there, the more wickedness you're going to think up here if you don't renew your mind today and tomorrow and the next day and on and on and on. You got to renew that mind. Why? It's got stuff in it. Pastor White and I got Marvin Gaye in ours. We got to get him out. And he wasn't gay either. So when you look at this, Satan's target is our mind. Why? Because of our previous direction, he knows it works. He knows the direction that we're prone to go. He has a planned determination. He knows that it worked on Adam and Eve. They fell for the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and probably he knows that it worked on us. By the way, he tried it with Jesus, and it didn't work. What did Jesus say? It is written. It is written. It is written. What did he give us? The plan to defeat Satan. It is written. Folks, we got a powerful defense. We have to be renewed in our minds. John 17:17 says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. What am I saying here, folks? As we look at this first area under Satan the deceiver, he targets our mind. Why? Because that is the vehicle in which God communicates his will to you and I. And you and I have to be spiritually alert to pay attention to God's voice on purpose. Why? It's hard. We have a flesh, and our flesh does not want to hear anything spiritual. Children, your flesh does not want to be under authority. That's why God says children obey. Children don't want to be under authority. Let them have, they go out and run their own life. Running aground, amen. But they don't know how to do it. That's why God gives them parents. And that's why God gives us authorities. And that's why God gives us his word. Why? Because our minds are targeted to do what we want to do. And Satan is the greatest deceiver ever. And God's not going to go out and make you do right. But he will give you everything necessary to do right. And it's up to us to do it. It really is. Folks, we have been warned. Satan's going to target your mind from the time we say amen until the time we come together again. And he's going to target, and he's relentless. He's not going to give up. Because he's just waiting for you to have a down moment. When you were strong, you said, I'm not going to answer that. But when you're weak, you'll say, who is it? That's all he wants is to entertain you. What happened with Eve? She entertained him. She should have ignored him. Turned her back. Folks, don't listen. He's a deceiver. And when he deceives wholly. He takes you hook, line, and sinker. Why do you think we catch fish with baited hook? Because the fish never see the hook. They won't bite a hook by itself. But you put something on it, they will. Satan wants to put something on the hook so that he can catch you. Why? He's a deceiver. Folks, we got powerful defense. Renew our minds, change our thinking, and let God direct our way. And we won't get caught. Next time we get together, we're going to talk about the next point here. Satan as a deceiver, he targets our mind. But then the weapons that he uses, is what we're going to talk about next. The techniques or the tactics he uses. But folks, as you leave here knowing that you're armed for the battle. You don't have to fall. But you will if you're not renewing your mind. Father, thank you so much for your love. Lord, work in our minds and help us to renew our minds. And help us to know what we can and should do. Lord, thank you so much for all the wisdom that you give us. And Lord, we would be fools not to take you up on it. But Lord, some are past feeling. Some are callous. Some are just not wanting to know and not wanting to do. Lord, that's going to be on them. But thank you for the many that want to be aware of the deception, aware of the disguises, and aware of the deceit of Satan. God, help us to have our minds renewed by your word, moment by moment, day by day, week by week. And Lord, to do that which is pleasing in thy sight. Satan is very, very crafty in what he does. And help us, Lord, to guide our steps and do that which is pleasing. Lord, if there's one tonight without Jesus Christ, save that man, that woman, that boy or girl. Help them to see their need for Christ. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Dismiss us with your blessings. And thank you for being a great God in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And Pastor White's got our closing announcements. Pastor White. Amen.
All right, just a couple things, if you could, before you leave. I thought this out my screen.